Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
They have a chance this weekend to do something that's extremely rare for 49er football this millennium. They have a chance to go 2-0 to start a season. Like, in New England, that's just kind of, you know, it's happenstance. You just fall backwards into 2-0 most seasons. This team has not gone 2-0 since 2012. That was the Super Bowl year against Baltimore. Since 2000, the turn of the millennium, 19 seasons, they've opened a year 2-0 just three times. Three times. They've gone 1-1 12 times. They've gone 0-2 four times. And in the month of September, like your first four games out, here's how they've started in the first four games, starting with last season and working backwards. 1-3, 0-4, 1-3, 1-3, 2-2, 2-2, and then you get to Harbaugh, 3-1, 3-1, 0-4, 3-1, 2-2, 2-2, 1-3, 1-3, 0-4, 1-3, 3-1, 3-1, 1-3. Not a team that breaks from the gate very strong this millennium. But this is an opportunity this weekend to go 2-0 for the first time since 12 and just the fourth time this millennium. It's 2019. To start 2-0, sometimes you just get lucky in those situations. You just get a favorable schedule early. We could be living in a world where we got a 2-0 team getting set to host Pittsburgh next Sunday.
And then a bye and then a Cleveland team on a Monday night. And all of a sudden you could look at a team that has some real momentum heading into what will be the tougher part of the schedule. So maybe the schedule maker gives you a break and you have two relatively, quote, easy road games. If you ranked all eight of the road games this year, these two and maybe the Arizona trip would be the three easiest, but you can only play the schedule that you get. We've talked about this time and time again. So to go to Tampa and handle your business, you're expecting Jameis Winston to throw the ball to you, but unlike last year, you actually took the ball away and you cashed in on two scores. Now you go to Cincinnati, and they probably won't have their number one receiver, A.J. Green, who is out of the boot, but probably won't be ready for Sunday. Your running back's a question mark, and it's a team that is going to be highly motivated to win, but it's a very winnable game, and 2-0 is right on the table.
Dalton will give you some opportunities, just like Jameis Winston. I'm not saying as many, but Andy Dalton, he'll give you some opportunities to make a couple plays this weekend.
Yeah, and the tough thing about this game is you got to look at it, and just like when I looked at with the Raiders, when they were going to play Monday night, I thought the Raiders were in a must situation. I think that's the best game. It's going to be hard for the Raiders to play better than what you saw Monday night. Bottom line.
Very clean football Monday night. That was a clean game.
Played clean. The stage was set. Everyone's wondering who's going to show up. What's this team like? All the stuff surrounding Antonio Brown. They played a hell of a game. I think this is Cincinnati's in the same situation. This is their biggest game, I think, of the year. If you look at, they can't afford to go down 0-2. And this is the game that scares me. This is a game, I don't care how you look at it. I don't care the rest. I don't care how well the Niners play. This is going to be a very, very good game. You look at Cincinnati, they're like, boys, we cannot go down 0-2. We got to fight. We got to scratch. This is a big game for them. So who wants this one better? And I think that you have to just look at it from outside looking in. Know the Niners got the swag. I know they're playing. They play pretty well. Know their defense is playing well. They got to want this one because they're gonna have to take this one. You got to take this from Cincinnati.
They are betting this game in Vegas like the outcome is already known. And I'll explain that to you. One of the fundamental rules, if you had a Bible for gamblers and it was only dealing with the NFL, one of the chapters would be dedicated to week two, because week two is all about the overreaction. Everyone sees week one, and then you bet week two based on week one. Just that one game. People are going to come out betting against Cleveland because they look so bad. People are going to bet the Patriots to win by 40 over Miami because Miami looks so bad, New England looks so good. You work your way around, and you find what the teams did last week, And then you'll be watching the public bet those same results. And then everyone's going to go, oh, my God, I can't believe it. NFL's wildly unpredictable. Not really. This is just an overreaction. But here's what should alarm you if you are a Niners fan. The look-ahead line for this game last week, there's a sportsbook, the Westgate in Las Vegas, will put out the lines for the following week's games. You can have more than a week to get after this. And then they take them down. Had the Niners as a 2.5-point favorite. Now think about this. You're a 2.5-point favorite last week before anything takes place. 2.5 over Cincinnati. You go out and you beat Tampa. They go out and they lose to Seattle. Everyone knows in the bookmaking world about the overreaction to week two. And then you have a 4-point swing to Cincinnati. Cincinnati is a 2-point favorite. It has gone from San Francisco -2.5 to Cincinnati -2, despite the Niner win and the Bengal loss. That is highly terrifying if you are a 49er fan. The overreaction should be the other way. It should be the Niners winning, the Bengals losing, and the Niners going from a 2.5-point favorite up to 3, maybe up to 3.5. Instead, it's moving dramatically in the other direction. And that speaks to what you were just talking about, the must-win urgency for the Bengals. First four games out of the gate at Seattle, home against the Niners, at Buffalo, at Pittsburgh. This is your only home game of the first four. So they're betting this one right now like it's already been determined. A little alarming for me going into this game. Someone's got to get that to Kyle. We'll talk to John Lynch at 8. We'll tell him. You got to tell Kyle they're betting it like it's already over, John. Get the word to him, please.
And hopefully
up the intensity.
Yeah, and I hope the Niners are watching TV at night and watching the news, because I'm telling you, what's going on all their local news stations should be like, guys, come, everyone, fans, come out. We need your support. Come support. Only home game. This is the cry. Only home game in 4 weeks. Guys need to come out. So I think that place is going to be a hostile environment. I think you'll see a sellout crowd. It's early. This is a big game for them. This is going to be a tough, it's going to be a tough road trip.
It's going to be a brutal game, especially when you look at what Cincinnati did against Seattle with chance after chance, missed field goal, and a bobbled pick that Andy Dalton kind of, quote, threw inside the red zone, and a late call that went against him on a fumble that really was an incomplete pass that was given to Seattle. All these micro moments in the game that didn't go their way, and yet they lost by a point. And what you're saying about the one home game in the four, sometimes you look at these teams, and like Miami, you think, well, they're going to be bad, and so the players know that they're going to be bad. Maybe they won't go out there and exert and try and stay in it. But teams like Cincinnati doesn't necessarily have the same realization about themselves that us on the outside might, saying you're going to be 6-10 anyway. So how highly motivated are you going to be in week two when you know that you're not as good as Baltimore or Pittsburgh or maybe even Cleveland? Yet these guys are, to Lowe's point, these are all athletes, and they're going to be highly motivated, especially at this point.
How alarming is it that the defense has to prepare for a Bengals team that's got a brand new head coach? Zach Taylor, this is just the second game he's ever called as a head coach in the NFL. So you got the tape from last week against Seattle, but how else do you study this? How else do you try to break it down? He's from the Sean McVay coaching tree. Do you study Los Angeles tape?
I think you study a little bit of that. You study the preseason. And you just go look at Tennessee's, find out what he's doing. You find out what the defense is doing as well. And you got to go out there and you say, we got to play our type of ball. And you got to make it physical. And the biggest thing, when you're in doubt about different teams and coaches don't know a lot about it, it's beat your man and do your job. If you can beat your man and create a new line of scrimmage and get off, you're going to disrupt their pass routes. If you can do that on offense, create a new line of scrimmage, do those things, ball control, you can keep their defense. You can dictate what the defense do. You win on first and second down. You're in third and two, third and three, or whatever it may be. Now the defense can't go out and put necessarily nine guys in a box. Can't do a lot of things because of the fact you can come out in nickel. You can still come and do screen. You still do draw. You got a lot of things you can do, especially when on early down. So when you're even on both sides, when you don't know your opponent that well, win on first down. Win on defense, win on first down. That means hitting guys, creating a new line of scrimmage, playing on the other side of the ball. You know, get a loss and, you know, put some pressure on the quarterback. Do those things that you need to do in order to make them uncomfortable. So, yeah, those are some of the things you do, Joe, and you got to definitely study some of the stuff that Shaman may do and see what he did and see if some of the tendencies are the same.
Anybody got Thursday night lock for me? It's Panthers -7 at home, over under 49. Anyone got Thursday night lock? I would use the Thursday night lock.
Yeah, for me, it's an under. And I think when you look at Thursday night games, and I'd have to go back historically and look at all of them. I know last year there was that one Thursday night game that each team scored over 50. I think that was the Kansas City game. But in general, I think these Thursday night games, especially early in the season, tend to be lower scoring duds. So, Joe, I'm going to give you the under as my Thursday night lock.
You got a lock for me?
Shoot. I like the under too, but I don't think it's a lock. I don't know if I'm locking up.
Yeah, okay. Sorry. Took place. That just happened.
That's on me. Back to lock up.
Shoot. Both these teams are desperate. Winston could be getting benched tonight. It might be, could be.
Whoa.
I mean,
Backup? Gabbert?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I don't want to see
He's
Gabbert.
Hurt, I think. He's got the shoulder issue.
Get him out of the NFL. Have we not seen enough to understand how the story ends? Have we not seen enough?
We have.
So, let's get Gabbert in there, see what he can do. You already know what he can do. He cannot play football. That's what he can do. He can go out there and play very poor football.
That's what he will do. But
That's all he's ever done.
Yeah.
Has he ever done anything other than that? So what would lead you to believe it's going to play the other way Thursday night at Carolina? Come on now.
So you think fireworks? I think fireworks, though. I think Jameis is going
to... No, I think low scoring. I'm with Dibs. Yeah, I've been looking at this game. I got to have something on it. I'm not just going to let it... It's not just going to slide
let
past
it slide
me.
By.
It's a lot of points.
Worry about the Giants.
Tampa's offense
slide.
Didn't look good last week. Carolina's got a pretty good defense. I can't worry about the Giants. Those are all losers. Those are all losers. I need to make back the Bet 162 money on the NFL. Don't you understand? I haven't even made it to week two yet. I'm already gripped up because of this baseball disaster. Which, by the way, what do we got? It's Samardzija, and did Pittsburgh name the guy yet? Whatever. I'm going with Samardzija. No one's a bigger Jeff Samardzija fan than me. I've made that very clear over the years. Musgrove, Samardzija, small favorite. It's going to end up being... they're all three units. I can't afford to scale back anymore. I've got to find weirdo props... like the Giants win by 5 plus 800 tonight.
Alternate run lines, yeah.
Yeah, I got to find crazy props to try to get back. I'm down too much. The standard way of betting is not going to be able to get me back. I'm down like 3 dimes on this thing.
3 dimes?
Yeah.
Man.
So I got to come out.
That escalated quickly.
Yeah. I might find a way to maybe bet the Giants win by like 5 today. You're going to see some crazy stuff over the next 2 weeks. Send him out of options.
I'm excited.
It's like a boxer who's down on the cards.
Needs a knockout.
Yeah, so you lost all 9 rounds, but we're going to the 10th. This could be it. All right, I'll try to jab him to death. No, you got to throw some big haymakers, son. That's what we're doing. It's going to be big haymakers.
You need a knockout, Joe, is what you're saying.
I'm going to need a prop of like the Giants winning by 4. I'm going to need something like that today.
Usually in that situation, most of the time that guy ends up getting knocked out because he's trying too hard.
Yes, that's what's going to happen here too. But I'm not going to lose I'm not losing on points. Yeah. All right. I'm not going to lose on points. You're going to carry me out of the ring, and I'm not going to be doing some crazy loser post fight interview with Jim Gray. That's not happening. You're carrying me out of there. Sorry, Jim Gray. You're not getting your interview.
You may want to try and sneak an elbow in or maybe an accidental headbutt here just to try to soften up the opponent because you're in real trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I made that clear, but thank you for reaffirming that for me.
The reiteration sensation is what
I got to find some crazy alternate props for this game today. Okay. Not confident, though, with this Niner spread. This is the game, though, if you look at that, the spread and Cincinnati's desperation spot and how if they want to have a season, this is what they got to do because it's the only home game of the opening month. This is the absolute perfect time for Garoppolo to go out there, play a very smart, clean brand of football, throw for like 275, 2 touchdowns, no turnovers, keep the defense off the field for some good periods of time, ice it late, and then get out of there and get back here to focus on Pittsburgh. That come Monday morning ends all of this. Well, Nick Mullins is looking good. Garoppolo's got to feel the pressure. Look, we talked about this at the end of yesterday's show. I think that's nothing more than a smokescreen to drive up the price for Nick Mullins. The Jacksonville Jaguars lost their quarterback. The Colts lost theirs. There are teams around the league that need quarterbacks. The Niners, the report was out there that they were already shopping Beathard and Mullins, but they wanted a mid-first-round pick. And Lynch had said, and he's going to join us at 8 o'clock today, he had said that they weren't willing to waver on the price. You establish a price and you stick to it. I think that's good business. But no, there were no takers. So now I think you're starting to hear this. Well, they really love Mullins. They really love Mullins. Now, they're not saying it about Beathard, the guy that they drafted in the third round?
Right.
That everyone says Kyle really loves. They're saying it about Nick Mullins. I got a feeling this is nothing more than trying to drive up the price. I really do. And I know it's a little risky because you don't need Garoppolo hearing this stuff. But you know what? Good. Let's see what he's made of. I like the idea of lighting that seat a little bit and trying to put him under pressure. Honestly, at some point, he's going to need to lead a 2-minute drive to win the game. He's going to need to pull out a game late. I want to see a guy who's been tested in pressure situations. Let him feel a little heat right now that maybe Mullins is coming for him. Let's see how he responds.
And I think he's going to feel some heat in this game because if you watch the Seattle-Cincinnati game, you see the front that got after Russell Wilson repeatedly. Carlos Dunlop, number 96, a guy you're going to see all over the field. Geno Atkins, 97 as well. These guys, as you would call them, Low, are boy dogs. And it makes me wonder how this 49er offensive line can hold up in a second road test, because Tampa Bay, they were able to pressure Jimmy G at times, but they really didn't make him consistently uncomfortable. I see in the Cincinnati front the ability for them to make him consistently uncomfortable. So then does Jimmy G, is he able to make plays on the move? Is his movement good enough to sustain this kind of pressure, especially when you're going to be down a running back?
Yeah, and that's where it comes down to, what did we get out of training camp? That's the big thing. To me, training camp, that's why I think that you have to make sure your practices are hard. Make sure that you're going after guys. If you're not going to play guys in the game, then you make sure you do those individuals, the one-on-one. And I think if you look at Buckner and look at the guys that the Niners have, you know, Geno, Buckner, you know, flip a coin, which one's better? You think about how good Geno is, but you think about how good Buckner is. Then look at our pass rushers. So our offensive line should be built for these moments. This is a situation where both these offensive lines have had some good practice partners to go against because they both got some great, not good, but some great defensive players. So I think that this is a game where the Niners offense, they have to be in sync. They got to understand there's going to be a lot of times they can't hear. It's going to be a lot louder than Tampa Bay. So they're going to have to go, you know, to touch and hit, touch each other's leg and on the snap count because you're not going to be able to hear Jimmy G. You got to be on point.
Ah, come on. Cincinnati's going to be that loud.
I think this is going to be the spot.
How do they have hope? How do they have hope? You're coming off Marvin Lewis. There's no hope.
Yeah.
Can that place get loud, though? I know that you guys weren't terrific when you were there in
2-14 the one season. They're terrible.
We start off undefeated, so yeah, it can get loud. And these guys want to win. They're in a situation where they feel this is going to be their season. You got a new coach you're playing for, Andy Dalton. You got the redhead pistol. What is he going to do? I mean, I think the guy can throw the ball. I think he threw it
51 times in week one,
and he do it pretty well. So he's a guy, you've seen him at times play like an MVP. Is he consistent? No. But he's at home, he can throw the long ball, and if you give him time, Andy Dalton can hurt you.
Nice guy. Nice guy, Steven. NGS also stands for Next Generation Stats, because he loves the next gen stats.
Look at you.
Do you have the number of where Garoppolo ranked in terms of the release, how quickly he got the ball out of his hand in week one?
Yeah, well, technically he was dead last, as they put it, but he got it out quicker than any other quarterback, 2.1 seconds, which was quicker than anyone else.
Oh, so you're dead last because it's ranking him based on who holds it the longest.
Yes.
Okay, this is going to be very important. Thank you for that stat. This is going to be very important. The Bengals sacked Russell Wilson 4 times last week. In Seattle, Wilson only threw 20 passes. I'm assuming he dropped back more than that, obviously. He was 14 of 20. He only threw 20 passes in that game, probably dropped back, what, maybe 30 times? A couple of scrambles here and there. He ran 4 times straight yards. They got to him 4 times. He is one of the slickest, most elusive cats in the NFL, and they got him 4 times for 35 yards in that game. Now you're going to go home with some crowd noise. Debatable as to how loud it's going to be. Come on, Cincinnati.
It's debatable, but I was
watching. It's a swing state, coach. They're not going to be that loud.
96 and 97, though, in your program are the two guys to watch because they both will get after you. And they had Russell Wilson on the run in that ball game. If it wasn't for a couple of odd plays and a missed field goal, they go to Seattle and win that game.
All right, new segment debuting coming up next. NFC Power Rankings. We're not doing NFL Power Rankings. We're doing NFC Power Rankings. Where do the Niners stack up as of today? Who do we have as the best team in the NFC? How many teams are ahead of the Niners, tied with the Niners, and below the Niners? That'll lead into a receiver roulette week 2. Dibs claimed week 1. We'll see if he can defend his title in week 2. John Lynch at 8 o'clock. It's all brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. Here is Stephen Langford with what's coming up on the game.
Thank you, Joe. What's coming up on the game is sponsored by Dialpad. The 49ers are in Youngstown, Ohio as of right now to get ready for the Cincinnati Bengals on Sunday. How will the roster shake down for week 2, and how will they build off the win in Tampa Bay? Well, the guys will discuss that and more with 49ers general manager John Lynch at 8 o'clock. And today, just like every Thursday, we play Does Low Know? Where a surprise guest calls in and we'll see if Low, knows who it is. Does Low Know? coming up at 8:45. Remember, you can take Jolo and Dibs on the go. Download the Radio.com app, Dibs, and favorite 95.7 The Game. On to baseball, the Giants dropped the third game of a four-game series to the Pirates, while the A's got the 5-3 victory over the Astros. Dialpad is changing the game for business communication. Host calls and meetings in the cloud. Put a business line on your cell phone and get analytics to make every call smarter. Over 60,000 businesses trust Dialpad to bring their phone system into the 21st century. Visit dialpad.com. Coming up, Jolo and Dibs, joined by John Lynch at 8 o'clock. I'm Stephen Langford, 95.7 The Game.
Jolo and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Your guest list is as follows. John Lynch, general manager of the 49ers, in 28 minutes at 8 o'clock. At 8:45, the latest installment of Does Lo Know. It's the segment that is sweeping the globe. Not the nation, not the Bay Area, the globe. We heard from friends of ours in Finland the other day. They had so much fun listening to this last week. We bring on a celebrity guest. Lo does not know who it is. He has 10 questions, yes or no answers only, to figure out who the guest is. Last week it was Mike Allstott, who's apparently very big in Finland. Lo nailed it on the 10th question. Got the answer. Guest Allstott. So we'll see if he can do it again today.
It How would you cap someone it? Someone from Finland that Mike Allstott knows. So as we go from Allstott big in Finland, could be a Finn that Allstott knows. I would cap it as saying Lo definitely will get it. I'm not sure who the name is, but he's so locked in. His questions were so thorough. His process, and really comes down to organization, and he's very organized over there.
Have you ever thought about being a private investigator? You're such a good question asker.
Yeah, all the time.
Could you imagine him coming in with like his cheap suit, wrinkled up? Hey, Mrs. Williams, I'm going to need some information on your son. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to solve this for you.
Totally.
Bootleg straight to Hallmark. PI video. All right. We've got the latest installment as well of Receiver Roulette in 11 minutes. But right now we're going to start with something called NFC Power Rankings. Everybody gives you their power rankings. You see where the teams are. It's generally garbage. And I say that, people be like, hey, how you come you're going to be so harsh? Every power ranking out there is really just the standings. You get to week 8, the three teams at the top are usually the three teams with the best record. The teams at the bottom have the worst record. It's just the standings. All you're doing is eliminating the division and flipping a coin in like four key situations. That's not how it works. What we're going to do today, we're eliminating all that garbage. We don't have much standings to work with. There are some 0-1 teams that are definitely better than 1-0 teams. We're going to get to the bottom of it now. So where do the Niners rank in the NFC? That's the key, because if this is going to be a playoff team, from week to week, we have to understand who we're up against, who we're going to be watching, who's the biggest threat, who we should be rooting against. There are a couple key games like that this weekend. So before we start playing some music, I just want to establish where we are at the top. Who does every individual in this room have as the number one team in the NFC? Low, considering you've played in the NFC, the AFC, Fresno, the Moo, all the great
all
stuff.
All the C's.
All the C's. Where are you at on this? Who's number one?
Dallas Cowboys.
Whoa.
Can I? How about a little why? I'm very interested in that. This is gonna get Guru excited too, so be careful now.
I think when you look at the receivers, they just don't have one. They have several receivers. You look at the tight ends, the way that they're playing. I think they got a running game, and Ezekiel Elliott signed back with them. A new offensive coordinator. They changed the way that they view their offense. They're more aggressive. You got Amari Cooper and Dak Prescott from the second year. I think Amari Cooper now understands what he can be in this league, and it's no more, I'm just okay. He's a guy you cannot guard man-to-man. He's a guy that you got to roll the safety over the top. He understands teams, the way that they try to get to him is to play physical. You got to play him physical, try to jam him, try to beat him up. But if you do that, he's so slick that he might even run by you. I think Amari Cooper is emerging into one of the better receivers, one of the top five or six receivers in this league.
Interesting. Lowe's got the Dallas Cowboys as the number one team in the NFC. Dibs, agree or disagree?
I disagree, but that's a great case he made, and I can't dispute the fact that I would have them up near the top of my NFC power rankings, but I'm going to the defending champs of the National Football Conference and going with the LA Rams. I think they played a tough Carolina team. Todd Gurley's not quite at 100%, but he looks better than I thought he would. They also have weapons in the receiver core, and Clay Matthews has been a great addition to that defensive front. I'm going to stay with the Rams right now, Joe, as my best team.
I'm in the same boat. If they won it last year, you got to show me something for why I should take it away from them. And in week one, the only thing they did was go to the East Coast to play an early game, and they controlled that game from start to finish. It was close several times, but they kept the Panthers at bay the entire way. That was a very, very challenging week one game. So if I'm going to take it away from the Rams, I've got to see something from someone else that is much, much better. Dallas would be the type of team that made that case. It came at home against the Giants. I don't want to take too much away from them. And while it looked great, Kellen Moore now calling the plays in Dallas, that offense looks, it looks real, right? Look at what happens when you take Carrot out of the equation. The Cowboys start to play a competent brand of football. As soon as you get the head coach who doesn't know anything out of the way, just let him go clap on the sidelines. Now suddenly you got something cooking. So there you go. Rams for Dibs and I, Cowboys for Low. Give me some music, nice guy. Ooh. All right, so I'm going to give you an NFC team. You let me know if the Niners are better, worse, or on the same par. And then we will try to figure out where this team ranks overall after 1 week of football. Dibs, I'll start with you on this one. We'll begin in the NFC East, the Dallas Cowboys.
I've got the Niners behind Dallas. So Dallas would be ahead of the Niners, if that's how you want me to respond.
Just, yeah, I'll say Dallas. I'll pick the team and then say Niners, and you pick which one's better.
Okay, Dallas,
so you're taking
is better,
Dallas.
Yeah.
Though we already know you're taking Dallas, so I'll come right back to you on this one. The Philadelphia Eagles.
Philadelphia,
yeah.
We can do a little analysis, too, if we want. Okay. If you've got some notes and you want to throw it out there, feel free. If you want to go with one word, that's fine,
I wish I would have started Deshaun Jackson in my fantasy league, if that's a sentence.
Are you going to start him in week two?
I am going to start him in week two, Joe. I went with David Njoku as my my flex instead.
The best thing could have happened to Philadelphia, they played Washington Skins. Skins jumped on them. They've been reading a lot of the press clippings, think that they're better than what they were. They needed to get slapped in the face early. You saw Philadelphia when it needed to make the plays. Deshaun was absolutely amazing, starting to get their groove. I think this team is going to be hell to reckon when the further they go in the season.
Okay, so you both have Dallas ahead of the Niners. You both have the Eagles ahead of the Niners. The Washington Redskins.
Below the 49ers, yeah. The team is not that impressive to me.
I think they're below the Niners as well. AP didn't play. Let's think that a guy's done. You still got a guy on the team like that. I don't necessarily believe in their quarterback. Their defense, offensive tackle still holding out. I think that they're the Niners, definitely.
The New York Giants.
Niners.
Yeah, the Niners are better than the New York Giants. We're still waiting to find out what happens at quarterback for them. When they make the switch, then you can truly see what this Giants team is going to be in the future, but right now, the Giants are behind the Niners.
All right, 2-2, we move to the NFC North. Let's start with the Chicago Bears. Bears, do you rank them higher or lower than the Niners right now?
I've got them in the same group, and, you know, it's above, it's below, it's in the same. I think the Chicago's defense is still better than the 49ers' improved defense. Mitchell Trubisky is the big question mark for me, but I'd have them in that same grouping as the 49ers.
I still think the Chicago Bears is better. Defensively, I think they're still better. Offensively, it's a coin flip. I don't believe in their quarterback. So right now, though, you would still have to get the edge to the Chicago Bears.
The team that beat the Chicago Bears in week one, the Green Bay Packers, do you rank them higher or lower than the Niners?
I see that particular team. I still didn't show me, even though they beat the Green Bay Packers, didn't look good either. Didn't think Aaron Rodgers looked good. Didn't think their offense looked good at all. I still like the Niners better than Green Bay.
I've got Green Bay ahead of the 49ers, in part because of their improved defense and the fact that Aaron Rodgers didn't play that well and the offense didn't do a lot, and still they were able to beat Chicago. So I think the 49ers, and luckily they have a head-to-head matchup with Green Bay, but for right now I've got Green Bay ahead of the 49ers.
Bit of breaking news for Monday Night Football for those who care. Sam Darnold out with mono. Trevor Siemian gets the start. The point spread is off the board.
Whoa.
Across Las Vegas. Sam Darnold out with mono. You got to keep him away from everyone now. I had mono in high school. I got to miss like a month and a half of school. It was awesome. It was actually awesome, believe it or not. I got it watching the movie Titanic. Shout out to you know who.
Wow.
She's not listening. All right, let's keep it moving. The Minnesota Vikings, very impressive win over the Atlanta Falcons in week one. Do you put the Vikings ahead of the Niners right now?
Vikings ahead of the Niners, yeah. And it's interesting with Kirk Cousins and Jimmy Garoppolo, those two having parallel tracks, at least in the eyes of some, as to who has a better year. But right now, I think Minnesota, a better chance to be a good team than the Niners.
Agree.
I too have Minnesota Vikings. I think when you look at what they're able to do just collectively, I think the running backs, the quarterback, right now you've got to give the edge to Minnesota. Their defense still is one of the better defenses in the league, Minnesota.
What about your boys in Detroit? They had a nice shootout in overtime with the Arizona Cardinals.
Niners. I got the Niners all day. Detroit, they just don't have it.
Detroit and the pencil?
Detroit and the pencil below the 49ers. They got the Herm Edwards wrong because they thought it was you play to tie the game. No, you play to win the game, fellas. And Detroit couldn't beat Arizona. I've got them below the Niners.
All right, so now we're moving to the NFC South. They won on Monday night in a shootout, the New Orleans Saints. Are they still ahead of the Niners?
Yeah, still ahead of the Niners. That offense is still scary to me. The defense has improved, and I think that when you look at that game in December, that's going to be a tough one for the 49ers to win head-to-head. I've got New Orleans ahead of the Niners.
Breeze is in the Saints?
Breeze us, baby. Absolutely. You got to see they're dominant, especially if you're going to play in New Orleans on the road. You give Drew Brees any amount of time. This guy can go down the field methodically. He understands clock management. He understands the importance of getting in and out of the huddle. I love this guy a lot. Loving Hall of Famer, Drew Brees. Definitely, the Saints are better than the Niners.
We'll skip right past the Buccaneers unless someone wants to make the case that they're ranking the Buccaneers ahead of the Niners, even after losing to the Niners this past weekend. We'll go to Carolina. They play tonight against Tampa Bay. Is Carolina ranked ahead of San Francisco right now?
I think right now you got to look at them. I think that they are. I think that when they play, though, I still like the Niners because they're playing them at home. But yes, I think the Carolina Panthers, I would have to rank them above the Niners.
Church pew seat draws?
No, a church, different pew, and thus different seat, different draw. I would have Carolina slightly below the 49ers right now. Pending tonight, it'll be interesting to see how they do in that head-to-head matchup, but I'm not sold on Cam Newton.
The Atlanta Falcons.
Atlanta above. I think Atlanta is a team that's definitely going to be better than they were last year. And you look at this offense, the Atlanta offense with Matt Ryan, I would put Atlanta above San Francisco.
Atlanta, even after getting boated in Minnesota this weekend?
No, Atlanta's not. And you look at Carolina. Carolina has a better defense than Atlanta. You look at Atlanta, their inconsistency. Atlanta doesn't scare you, doesn't give you, bring you the fear. I don't like them. San Francisco 49ers are better.
Does anyone take Arizona over the Niners?
No, even though they were 2-0 against them last year, I think that the 49ers have a better team this year. I have Arizona below the Niners.
Me too.
You feel the same way?
Yeah.
I'm not going to come to you on the Rams. I know where you stand. You got them number one. Do you agree that the Rams are above the Niners right now?
Yes, I do.
Where are you at on Seattle?
Seattle, I have them below the Niners.
Below. Very interesting. What about you?
It's one of those toss-ups for me. I have Seattle above the 49ers.
I've got the Niners overall in ninth right now. Dallas is ahead of them. Philly's ahead of them. The Packers are ahead of them. The Vikings, the Bears, the Saints, the Panthers, and the Rams. Those are the top eight teams in no particular order in the NFC. The Niners check in at nine. The teams below them, Washington, the Giants, the Lions, the Bucks, the Cardinals, the Seahawks, and Atlanta. And Atlanta until further notice. Now, if I was projecting, I would probably, if I was forced into the situation, lean to Atlanta. But you know what? We'll see it. We're going to see it on Sunday Night Football, I believe, against Philadelphia. You're coming home. You've got to win this game. You cannot get embarrassed at Minnesota the way you did and then come home with the crowd noise. It's your debut. That offense, which, by the way, play the over there. It's 51 points. I think you're going to have a shootout on Sunday night. That's going to be big. But until they prove it, Atlanta's proven to be a soft team for quite some time. Yep. So that's where I stand. I got them ninth. Overall, where do you see them right now?
I have them around eighth. I really do. I think that this Niner team, they didn't play great. But you got to realize what they've shown you on defense, Kittle, what he is, and how they're starting to round into shape. I think this is going to be a very formidable team. They're in the thick of things. They have too many weapons. We are not giving this team their due. They're just due, especially when it comes to the defensive side of the ball.
Where are they ranked after week one in the NFC?
I've got them at ninth. I've got Detroit, Tampa, the Giants, Arizona, Washington, definitely below them. Then you throw Carolina in that mix as well. And it's tough because when you look at, I think there's a top four. You put Dallas in there, even Philadelphia, New Orleans, and the Rams. But then teams 5 through 11, that's really where it's all going to be solved. And the Niners will play Green Bay, a team that's in that mix. They'll play Carolina, Seattle twice. So for the 49ers, they'll have these head-to-head matchups that ultimately will decide if they're 10-6 wildcard team or at worst 6-10 and out of it.
So concludes NFC Power Rankings for Week 1 as we get set to roll into Week 2. John Lynch, 49ers General Manager, coming up in 14 minutes. But as it's around 7:45 on a Thursday, you know what that means. I'm getting some very cold sweats thinking back to days where I was just dumping cash on the roulette table living in Vegas. But here it is, receiver roulette. Here is how the game works. Each week, the three of us will have the opportunity to pick one Niner wide receiver to lead the team in receptions that week. If you end up winning, you get a piece that goes up on the Wheel of Doom. I don't know why we're going to call it the Wheel of Doom or Wheel of Death, because the thing is, you want as many pieces as possible up there so that at the end when we spin, there's a prize given to the winner. Now, of course, in standard 95.7 The Game fashion, we have not figured out what the prize is or have any idea where we're going to go in that direction.
It's either TBD or TBA. I'm not sure which. It's either to be determined or to be announced. If it's already been determined but not announced, it would be TBA. But I don't think it's been determined, so it's TBD.
TBD would require a singular step in the right direction, and we have not taken that step.
So it's essentially PPD, postponed, until it can become TBD, and then eventually it'll be TBA.
This is dangerous for you because you won week one, and if you win week two and we don't decide on something, and then you win week three, I'm just going to go ahead and try to knock the prize down to something as cheap as possible.
Right.
So right now, you're in a position where you're going to want that decided probably sooner rather than later.
I think the prize right now, the leader in the clubhouse, is I think it's a first-class airline ticket to Croatia, if I'm not mistaken.
I came across some pictures of Croatia on Travel and Leisure the other day. I follow them on Instagram. Oh my God, the beaches there are insane. Have you ever been to the beaches? Didn't you go there?
No,
once?
I didn't go to Croatia. I went to Prague, but we didn't get out to the, I don't know if there is beach in that part of the world, but Croatia, one of the more beautiful places in Europe.
I can
sure
see why you want to go. The place, I would Croatia's not have guessed beautiful. That was Croatia.
Croatia's beautiful.
Yeah. It's,
why are you saying that into your phone?
Just because.
That was really weird.
No. But I didn't ask Siri. But the reason why I did that is because the other day I'm just talking, and these phones are bugged.
I've been telling you that.
And it started talking like, what? And I didn't ask. I was on another conversation. It's just weird. I'm like, okay. So, and then all of a sudden later, I said something about Ross. And then they showed me, there's a sale at Ross. And it's like, I didn't say, I was talking on the phone about something else. And how did they know? Read my mind and put a news ad about that. Something's going on, Joe. So anyway, I just saying, Croatia, see what it show up.
You're bugged. It's nothing secret. You're bugged. Everything's bugged. Everything we're buying from a technological standpoint is tracking where we go, and it's listening to what we say. It's like, this Amazon, what are they called? Echoes and the dots and everything you bring in. You ask them to order you a pizza. It's all great, but it's just, they no longer have to pay anybody for research. You just go ahead, you acquire everyone's information, and then you store the information, and then you figure out where everyone orders pizza from, and you invest in that pizza shop, right? You figure out where everyone does their shopping at, and you invest in that. They're listening to you.
So the phones, this is tagline, so they, a word, keywords, and it's like, okay, said Ross. So they'll just throw you a, it's
no, they
crazy.
Just listen. Like, do you think that your phone does not have that capability? That phone can get you to any place in the world. It can just hand you directions. You don't think it's listening to you? What's it? Huawei, the Chinese manufacturer? They're spying on everybody. If you have a Huawei phone, if you go into their cell towers, they've got equipment in there that's designed to be spying on you. That's what China's doing. That's why Cosmore always says, come on in, China. He's terrified of Huawei.
Well, they're already in. Huawei. So to say, come on in, it's the surveillance and the whole idea of privacy. People get so, protective of their privacy. There is no privacy anymore, especially if you have a smartphone, like Joe's saying.
Got to go off the grid. If you don't want people tracking you, you got to go off the grid. You go back to the moo, you put on your jean shorts, you go out, you work the land. You don't talk on the phones, you don't use the computers. That's the only way. And even then, they're still going to find you.
Skynet can see you from the satellite. They can pick you up. They can see you down there, too.
Why are you so terrified?
It's scary, dude.
Lo's like, guys, I got to tell you something. I think these companies might be watching us.
It's crazy.
Honestly.
Well, just like you go into like CVS and you buy whatever you buy, and then at the end they give you that 17-foot-long receipt with all the coupons of things that you've bought in the past with your CVS card, so they know how to target you to get your business back.
If I search for any item on my computer that I'm looking to purchase, maybe I need a new travel suitcase for the airport or something.
Yeah.
The second I go on Instagram or any other feed on my phone or anything else, that thing's in there following me all over the place. It's following me all over the place. If I look at a new pair of shoes, it shows up everywhere. Everywhere.
And you already bought one. So to me, how smart is that? I already bought a suitcase, and now you're going to bombard me with suitcase imagery and advertisements? I just bought one. You morons. I mean, what would be the next thing I would need? Why don't you sell me that? Instead
why don't
of trying
you start
to
giving
me
some Southwest ads?
Exactly.
You know I'm probably booking a flight.
Oh, there you go. You just said it. So now all of our phones are.
Exactly.
You know?
And the Chilton Auto Body text line is pronounced Huawei. Whatever. They're spying on us. Huawei, Huawei. I don't care. I don't trust them. Not at all. Back to receiver roulette because we really departed from there. Last week, Dibs wins. Here's how it plays out. Dibs took Kendrick Bourne. Lowe took Marquise Goodwin. And I took Dante Pettis. They all finished with one reception. So as a tie, we went to the tiebreaker. Dibs had Bourne, who had 9 yards. That gave him the edge. And yes! Lowe and I both got 7 yards from Marquise Goodwin. So, yeah, not exactly a great performance. Big man, even though I finished last, well, wait, who's determined last? Targets. Targets puts me last. I'm going to defer to you if you'd like to go first. Dibs, we've already determined that the winner will go last every week.
Yep.
So you and I kind of in a tie. I'll defer to you if you'd like. I'm feeling very gentlemanly this morning now that you realize Uncle Sam's been spying on you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thanks for hearing me, guys. I'm going to go with Debo. I think that this is a guy they're going to target, a guy that that's going to emerge as the number one receiver and going to do some big things for this Niner organization. I think it's going to be Debo Sanders.
Debo!
All right. Debo number one. I'm not going back to Pettis. He played 2 snaps. I know Kyle said he's got to get him more involved. Something's going on there, right? Like, you don't have to come right out and say it, John Lynch, when we talk to you in 7 minutes, but there's something going on. Every piece of evidence from the start of camp until now has pointed to something being wrong with Dante Pettis, whether he didn't put the work in the offseason, whether he's not grasping the playbook, whether he's hurt, whatever it is, he's not trending in the right direction. There are limited options. I'll take Marquise Goodwin. You and I, I'll basically go with your guy from last week. Goodwin's got to get involved. Maybe 2 receptions is enough to win this thing. So I'll take Marquise Goodwin for this week. Are you keeping track of this?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm writing them down, and I was kind of hoping you'd go in that direction because Marquise Goodwin is a receiver I probably won't take the entirety of the year. Spoiler alert. I'm going to go in a different direction, and before I make my pick, you mentioned all three of our guys had 1 catch last week. How pathetic is that?
And I extraordinarily
think,
pathetic.
I think that underscores
they scored 31 points in the game.
Yes, the defense had almost as many catches as the wide receivers did. The wide receivers had 7 catches. The defense had 3 catches. That's extraordinarily unfortunate. And I think it speaks to this bit of receiver roulette. This might again be the first guy to 2 catches wins. I'm going to go with the explosive threat. Give me Richie James Jr. in receiver roulette.
Not senior.
No, I don't know if senior is walking through the door. And I don't know how many targets senior will get. But give me RJJ, Richie James Jr. for most catches here in week 2 in receiver roulette.
All right, so I jumped on the up.
No, it's okay. I was hesitant about it.
So Lowe's going with Debo. I'm taking Goodwin. And Dibs has Richie James Jr. So concludes week 2 of receiver roulette.
Isn't that thing?
Come on, Black 14.
Yeah, Black 14.
Yeah, except in real life, the last part doesn't happen.
Right.
I pepper that board, and then it always falls in that one spot. I play corners, I play halves, I play full-on numbers, I'm everywhere. And then it concludes, and you watch the guy. I don't watch the roulette wheel, too. That's the thing. I can't watch the number. I just stare at the table, and I wait for the dealer to take the little upside down shot glass and move it to the number. That's what I do. I just sit there and I stare at him. I won't look at the number. I won't listen. That's my routine. And then I watch him and I just track it. And he inevitably plunks it down on a number that is touched by none of my chips.
Wow.
Almost every time. You have these light blue chips all over the damn table and he'll plunk it down in the one number that's just nestled there that I wouldn't have even considered playing. Generally like a 28. Maybe a 4, things of that nature.
Is it for dizziness purposes that you won't watch the wheel? Or
no.
Because
no.
The spinning sometimes gets me, especially if I'm, 15 deep.
I don't know. I think it's mostly a junky degenerate sort of thing. Like
gotcha.
That, I need to build up the anticipation as much as humanly possible. And I think I've realized that if I see the wheel and I watch the number, so ends the drama. But if the number hits and I'm watching this thing go,
right.
There's more. I'm building up more anticipation and excitement, and I get more of that release in my brain.
So,
it's more of an addiction sort of thing, I would have to say. Certainly not a positive thing. Certainly not a good. There's no good reason for it.
No,
I don't have
adrenaline.
A roulette strategy.
Well, it's kind of like when you double down in blackjack and they give you the card face down and then they turn it over after and you see if you hit the 21 or not.
I like that. I prefer that as well.
Yeah.
And then you have the dealers that tell you they don't want to do it or they'll forget.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, no tips. Get out of here. Switch them out. You raise an interesting point. We have fun with the bit about the receiver roulette, but if you're going to spend all this time talking about whether or not Nick Mullins is breathing down Jimmy Garoppolo's neck or whether or not Jimmy Garoppolo is a franchise guy, give him some receivers that are going to do more than record one singular reception a game, right? Now, if you've got a guy that's catching 8 or 9, a guy who's catching 6, and then 2 or 3 other guys that catch 1, that's one thing. But you'll watch these games where a guy like Brady, over the course of the opening 2 drives, will hit 8 different receivers and get everyone involved. Dante Pettis is entering year 2. He's got to play more than 2 snaps. Marquise Goodwin makes a relatively handsome salary. He's got to catch more than 1 pass for 7 yards. Kendrick Bourne, 1 for 9, okay. I don't think the expectations were that high. And Deebo Samuel as a rookie second rounder, we're giving him a wide berth. But again, what was it, 3 receptions last week?
And a fumble.
And a fumble, and there weren't a whole lot of yards that went with it. Richie James made a nice play, and Garoppolo had a really good read and throw on that play. But for all the reports about Mullins breathing down the neck and the fact that Garoppolo might not be a franchise guy, well, ease up. When he goes to George Kittle, it doesn't seem like there's much of a problem. Kittle had huge numbers last week. So you raise a very good point that the receivers, we're going to have to start getting more out of them, right?
You are, but I think that Jimmy G is going to have to trust his receivers more, too. And sometimes receivers, I saw like one of them, I told you guys about the Bourne play, where, you know, the read route. But at times, he's got to believe that they're going to come open, go through his reads. If he's going to the X, to the Y, to the Z, then look at the X. If the X is not open, boom, look at the Y, and then go to the Z. Go through your progressions, and then go back. I think that's what he has to do. He's got to allow these guys to create the space they need to come open or throw these guys open. So I think Jimmy G, at the same sense, even though receivers got to run better routes, they got to understand whether it's a read route, make sure they break out instead of in, all those different things surrounding it. But he also has got to give him an opportunity to get open.
And the coach has to give him an opportunity, though, to push the ball down the field, because Joe was mentioning yesterday or the day before, the amount of yards on passes that he threw was 23 yards outside the Richie James Jr. pass. The ball only flew a combined 23 yards past the line of scrimmage, which tells me you're not designing a lot of route concepts to get down the field to give Jimmy G a chance to really go 5 steps back and let it fly. Nice Guy Steven before with the Next Gen Stats.
NGS. Nice, yes. Guy Steven, also Next Gen Stats. Nice Guy, get on the mic.
And the stat was about release time, and you were saying that he released the ball quicker than any quarterback in the league? Is that right?
You could throw a flag on me. He was second to Cam Newton. Cam Newton was 0.1 seconds faster.
But ballpark.
Yeah. And yet I said that to you when I teed you up, and you told me I was wrong. You said he was first, and now you come back on later to retract.
I didn't know we'd go back to it, Joe.
Yeah, you can throw that flag. Myers didn't say anything about him.
Yeah.
We have multiple fouls.
Yeah.
Not on low. Not on low, Bob.
Kind of disappointing.
Sorry, Bob. This is not on low.
Help me, Bob.
Yeah, seriously.
Bob's not coming all the way down into that gutter, all right?
He's
the president of basketball ops for the Warriors. They move into this brand new palace. He's not going to deal with NGS and its false stats.
New gutter, Steven? Is that what it is?
Basketball ops, board ops, we're all ops.
Yeah, it's all ops.
Gutter, Steven.
That's tough,
Before
man.
John gets on, can I ask Dib a question? Are we at time or no? Or is it?
You asked Dibs that question.
Yeah.
Like Bob Myers said, we don't treat you well enough.
Hey, Dibs.
Yeah.
After last week when you saw, you know, Chicago and you saw Green Bay play, and me and you had a discussion the week before that saying, where would you rather play a road game? You were more saying that you'd rather go to Lambeau instead of Chicago. After watching Trubisky play after that week, now do you understand why I'd rather go to Chicago instead of Green Bay because of the quarterback play? So do you still feel the same way?
No, though, I've seen the error of my ways, and it's not just Bob Myers who has helped me to learn that. I think deferring to you is probably my new course of action, so I'm going to ride with you from now on, big fella.
You ask a fair question, you get the snarky response.
No, it's not snarky. He's
it's
right.
100% snarky.
And you know what? You're misjudging my sincerity for snark. Okay.
You told him from now on you're just going to agree with him on everything.
I couldn't
That's
agree with him
snark.
More. It's not snark. If he's right.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning and welcome to the 8 o'clock hour of Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Does Lowe know? Coming up at 8:45, but right now we go to the dial pad guest line. He's the general manager of the San Francisco 49ers. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for John Lynch. Mr. Lynch, thank you so much for coming on the show. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. It's great being with you guys.
How's it feel to be 1-0? That was not going to be an easy game in the heat and the humidity. You knew Tampa under Bruce Arians was going to bring the fight right to you early and often. A lot of excitement in the game, but when it was all said and done, how was that feeling to get the first one out of the way in the positive win column?
It was a great feeling because like a lot of game ones, it could certainly be cleaner, and there's a lot of things we can improve upon. But I think our guys showed a lot of fortitude and a lot of strength and perseverance, just continuing to play. And it wasn't always pretty, but you found a way on the road. And, I think you mentioned that Bruce Arians is a really good football coach and knows how to get a football team ready. And he had his team ready. So I was proud of our guys that we found a way to get a win on the road. Those are hard to come by in this league. And when you get them, you don't complain. You just go to work and try to fix some of the things that kept you back a little bit.
No question. Winning on the road, John, you know, that is tough, especially playing a team that's looking forward to trying to change the way people feel about them. And, you know, Bruce Arians is a definitely physical coach. When you look at the receiver position and you start to see some of the things, there was a play in particular that I saw on that. I don't know if, John, if you watched the tape as much as the coaches, but I think it was like third down and 20, and you guys were going in trying to score. And I saw Bourne run a route. The safety was playing in the middle of the field. Brett's corner was guarding him. And looked like it was a read route. He broke in instead of out. It was in the first half. Jimmy G threw it to the outside. I think is that a read route, or are these guys on the same page? How do you fix some of those problems? What are the receivers, quarterback? What's the biggest disconnect in your opinion that guys got to do to get on the same page?
Yeah, that's perceptive, Lo. And I think you see that league wide.
Sure.
There's nothing like game action, and everybody needs it. And it's calculated decisions that go into it, but these guys don't get enough of it. And the way we play the preseason now, and it's kind of just the way it is. You can like it, not like it, but it's the way it is. And there's trade-offs on everything. And you try to make the trade-off, okay, we want as many guys healthy as possible, and so we're willing to take some of that rust. And you try to come up with other ways. You try to simulate game action and practice. But as you know, you can't do it. And so you kind of have to work through those type of things, and the teams that can best do that are the teams that play well early in the year. We have some things to clean up, but like I said, overall I was pretty pleased, and it is good to be able to win a game and then be able to be demanding on your guys and the guys to be demanding on themselves, because there's a lot that we left out there last Sunday.
What did you think of Jimmy Garoppolo's performance, especially in light of what you're saying about game action rust and not being out there that much in the preseason? Through one game, I know it's a tiny sample size, but how did Jimmy Garoppolo look to you returning from the knee injury for the first time in real action?
I think some good, and showed some rust. Some plays that I think he expects himself to make that he didn't. It's very much like that. We talked about, throughout the off season, he kind of incrementally grew into different phases. And at first it was just playing against defensive backs and linebackers in 7-on-7. In training camp, we put linemen around him. He played a little bit in the preseason, but then, playing an entire game was going to be an adjustment. And so I think all things considered, we're real pleased with Jimmy, most of all because we came out 1-0. I think Jimmy will agree there's some things he left out on the field and is working hard to fix those going forward, because we know we'll have to play better as a team to get where we want to get.
Niners general manager John Lynch joining Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Speaking of Garoppolo, what are we to make of some of the reports that continue to surface that Nick Mullins is kind of breathing down his neck, that if things don't go well this season, that maybe a quarterback switch could be happening? How long of a leash does Jimmy have?
Well, I think those are other people's opinions. I can tell you we do think very highly of Nick Mullins. We think very highly of C.J. Beathard as well. But we've got a lot of belief in Jimmy Garoppolo, and Jimmy's our quarterback. And was it perfect the other day? No. But I think he brings a lot to the table, and our team has a lot of belief in him, and we certainly do. And we're working hard to try to go out there and be cleaner as a team, and Jimmy is as well. But he is our quarterback right now, and we're very happy that that's the case.
John, how do you handle it when there's not enough, when you look at especially a position, the running back position, you come into the season, think you have so much depth there, and unfortunately the injuries happen. And then you got a guy that plays hell of special teams, one of the best that's in the league, and Raheem Mostert. Now a situation where now he's the number two. Is this a guy now that's going to have a bigger workload? Do you play him a lot on special teams? What are some of the things you guys have to do in order to, because you might need this guy, you know, later on, especially down on goal line?
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!